And welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. David James here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, hair looking phenomenal this morning. Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, it's a real problematic hair day, but I'm not going to bore you with those details.
Yes, please, please. I haven't had a problematic hair day in a long time, just to throw it out there.
Well, there's something to be said for that, man.
David, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. You know, just out here vibing with you guys as always. It's just so much fun.
David, have you had a problematic hair day in any time recently?
You know, if I do, I just wear a hat because, you know, I'm going bald right now. So usually don't have it that much.
I was going bald at the age of 17 and successfully got there at like the age of 21. So it's been a good time here.
Great time.
Yes. Wow. Glad we started talking about hair today.
Yeah, me too.
Now I feel bad. That's all I got left, man.
Yours, it's all good. Great. It's all good.
Yours looks great.
Nice lettuce.
Hope everybody is careful out there today. We've got ice / wintry mix / freezing rain moving into the area. Some people will be affected, some probably won't this morning, but just make sure you're aware of that and that you take it easy if you're having to go into work or whatever you're having to do this morning. Keep an eye on the weather. As we know, this time of year, the precipitation can get a little hairy on the Middle Tennessee area road. So make sure you keep an eye on that as we look around today. Joe, a lot to get to on the program here today. We'll be joined by Caroline Fenton coming up at 7 o'clock. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean will join us at 8. We got a lot to get into with him as well, so looking forward to that. We begin with the news yesterday from the National Football League that Tom Pelissero and Ian Rappaport put out there that the NFL has informed teams that the 2023 salary cap will be $224.8 million per club, which is up for $208.2 million in 2022 and $182.5 million in 2021. So in 2 years, of course, they were, you know, had the COVID adjustment back in 2021 at $182.5 million. In 2 years, it's gone from $182.5 million to what will be $224.8 million of a salary cap next year. So that's a pretty big jump in the NFL. And that gives teams a pretty clear idea of exactly how much money in some cases that they have available to them. In other cases, exactly how much money that they know that they've now have to cut from their current roster to make room for next year. And the salary cap is now set at $224.8 million. Your reaction to the salary cap number that the NFL threw out there yesterday?
I think it's about what was expected, you know, right in line. Like you said, big jumps here. I think we're going to keep seeing that things are going well now for the NFL. Things are going so well for the NFL. They don't need to fix their playoff games. They're going to make a whole bleep ton of money, no matter who wins what. Whoever won last weekend, great for the NFL. Bengals, Niners, great for the NFL. You know, whatever it is, they're doing just fine. This is the last league that would need to fix anything. And of course, I guess if you're the Titans, you know, in your situation, you would have liked even more of a jump. Of course, the Titans are over the cap. Now, this is where you get into these, you know, look what the cap is and look what this team is under and this team over and everything. This is where I will go a little bit of, there's plenty of maneuvering that can be done.
Yep.
And the Philadelphia Eagles, some of it's cap related, but you know, they're a great example of a team that in 5 years, they won a Super Bowl. And 5 years later, here they are with a great chance to win a Super Bowl with, you know, a handful of guys who are the same, but totally different coaching staff and situation, different quarterback, different everything. And they went through short-term pain. Some of it was because of the cap and some, you know, they loaded up and then they had to get bad and they made fantastic choices and maybe in some cases super lucky choices. And here they are, you know, so I don't know if they're a model for anyone because I think it's really hard to do what they did, but they do show you that it's possible.
They do. And now if you're the Titans, I mean, look, like you said, you had a kind of a baseline of where you thought the cap was going to be anyway, but with decisions that you have to make this offseason with David Long Jr. and some other free agents, Bud Dupree, that you could potentially cut and move on from, Robert Woods, guys that we've talked about. And then there's the quarterback position in Ryan Tannehill as well. Now you know what your number is that you're operating with. So if you know the cap is going to be $224.8 million and you're going out and part of your plan is to look for another quarterback and move on from Ryan Tannehill, well, you know that the around $18 million dead money cut that you'd have to do if you just straight up cut him, you know how that now affects you officially with the cap at this point. Or if you could trade him, you know, that's a different conversation at that point. But you know what the cap numbers are. I will say the more I think about it, number one, Joe, I think they will be interested in bringing back David Long Jr. I think he's been too good of a player for them not to be interested in that. I am interested to see, like, what kind of money does he make? What does the market value look like for David Long Jr. based on the way that he's played and the number that he brings to the table that we've seen? I'm really interested to see what happens with him.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, off the top of my head, David Long Jr., 3 years, you know, like, I mean, an inside linebacker, I mean, I guess maybe about 3 years, $40 million or something like that? Or am I being cheap with that?
I don't know. I mean, I think that could be about right.
Something like that, right? Like somewhere in the like 12-ish, maybe 10 to 12 range.
Yeah.
And look, I mean, that's a lot of money for an inside linebacker. I think, you know, I think absolutely David Long is worth that. I think he's an incredible find. They've been able to get away with, well, you know, not get away with. This is what happens when you draft someone that low and you have them on a rookie deal, but they've been able to enjoy that really good pick in 2019 and the development of him, because it has been like a steady, it's like a big step every year, basically, you know. But I do think that right now he's one of those players that I think you absolutely should be looking to pay. There is a one of those either over the cap or SpotTrack does market estimates. So I'm gonna try to find that.
Well, he's part of the cap equation you got to look at if you're the Titans. And then now, I mean, with this jump, you would assume it's going to continue to go up as the, you know, the TV deals kicked in and all these other things that the NFL continues to print money on. You've got kind of a gauge for Jeffrey Simmons and what that's going to look like with him as you try to formulate what his next contract is going to be. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, you know, in the immediate aftermath of the hiring of Rand Carthon as Titans GM. The number for Jeffrey Simmons, I think obviously he's going to be a priority. I think he should be a priority for the Titans. You know, we talked about, you know, barring a trade that gets you up to the number one overall pick where you're taking your future quarterback, I would assume Jeffrey Simmons is going to be part of the team as you move forward here. So what does that number end up looking like, and what other decisions are you forced to make if you give Jeffrey Simmons the gigantic contract that we think he's going to get? I mean, we've seen the impact that those guys can have, be it from Aaron Donald. I don't know if you saw Chris Jones over the weekend, but my goodness, he looked pretty good out there on the field for Kansas City. So we know the type of player that Jeffrey Simmons can be, especially when he's healthy. But what does that number end up looking like for Jeffrey Simmons, and what other decisions maybe are the Titans forced to make if they decide to go that route and give that contract to Jeffrey Simmons this offseason?
And see, that question is another one that brings up the – you know, the cap is manageable. Like, if you are, let's say they do that, I think no matter what the path is, even if it's like a quote unquote reset or whatever the heck you want to call it, I think you should sign Jeffrey Simmons. I mean, you either sign him and you think about, like, it's, you know, some point soon you're going to be good, and or, you know, maybe he's a trade chip and a huge move. I mean, like, again, if I'm talking like you are wanting to get to number one. Okay, well, draft picks and Jeffrey Simmons and who the heck knows what else may have to be discussed. But if it is, you know, let's say they do make a deal for him, you can certainly backload it and do different things so that this next year, if it becomes a go for year, which, as we've talked about, if you're not, I mean, if you're you're going back with Tannehill, or you're going to get Brady, or whatever it is. That's exactly what it is, right? It's go for it year. I mean, it's not a go for 9-8 year. It's a try to be as good as possible year and be a contender in the AFC year. So that's where, and that is where the cap and the people who look at the cap and say, yeah, we look at these numbers and look at how easily you can get under them. I mean, it's true. That's what you would need to do. You'd have to probably work on some other existing deals, and you could certainly do things, you know, so that the cap number doesn't get you until later. Like Mahomes had what was Mahomes' cap number? It was like, I think it was really low this year, right?
Yeah.
I think it was, like $6 million or something like that. I mean, these are the things that you can do, which gives the whole cap is fake thing. Problem is, you still have to get under that number, and you can't infinitely, you can't do this with every deal, right? I mean, you know, like it's not infinite that you could do it. And if it was infinite, absolutely there would be super teams in this league that owners would attempt to put together. They make no mistake about that.
Well, I would assume the Cowboys would have had a little bit better luck at both keeping players and signing new players if that were the case.
I mean, I had on air an argument with our favorite cap is fake person, and it and he actually says, "Nah, Jerry's he likes his money." I'm like, dude, he would absolutely cut off his arm to win another Super Bowl. But you're telling me that they just move on from people because, I just don't want to pay people. Come on.
We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The salary cap number is set in the NFL. How will that affect the Titans? What sort of activity do we expect from the Titans this offseason? We'll continue that discussion coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. We're here streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Joe, as expected, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt from D.C. on the text line has weighed in, says, but the salary cap is fake. Will from Brewston on the text line says, Stillman says the cap isn't real. Multiple exclamation points from Will from Brewston on the text line. Oh, we are extremely aware of what our friend says about the salary cap.
You know, it's like I listen to Jared's show sometimes, and he starts talking about the cap and contracts and the NFL. It's great. It's really good stuff. Really good insight. He very informed, pays close attention, has I think a lot of good takes. And it's like you're talking about like quadratic equations or something. It's like really high level conversation. And then it's like, and then you get to the cap, and it's like 4 + 3 = 8. And it's like, wait, why is this the hill you must die on?
Well,
why?
I've noticed something like the crutch that he's got now, and I love my good friend Jared Stillman. I've talked to him about this before, but when he gets to talking about like money, like so-and-so costs too much money, so the Titans don't need to do that. I'm like, well, why? The salary right. cap's not real. And he's like, well, it's the money. Like he does, yes. They don't want to pay the money. That's
cash
the
is
crutch.
Real.
The cash
yeah.
is
cash
real.
Is real. Cap isn't real.
Yes.
See, but here's the thing. There's some truth to that. In fact, one of my favorite GMs, Trent Baalke, down in Jacksonville, said that at a recent press conference, you know, which is, you know, he said, you know, cash is more important than cap, you know. And so, and there is some truth to that. And certainly it's worth, when you look at some of these situations, it is important. I mean, some of these owners have tens, hundreds of billions. And some of them, I mean, like Amy Adams Strunk, I think net worth is reported like $2.3 billion, you know? So, yeah. Like, there are differences between owners in terms of certain things that you would do.
Sure.
So, cash does matter. But, yes, like, to try to, like, if anybody really wanted to press Jared on this and have, like, a public forum, and you just go through every offseason, any offseason, pick an offseason, the different moves that teams do in some cases, because they just like, they can't, they have to get under the cap. You still have to be under that number. And so you have to make tough decisions, but like Jared to go through all those players and explain, well, yeah, but in this guy though, he actually had a case of rickets that no one knew about. And I mean, it's just like, I mean, it's just absurd. So anyway.
I just wanted to get you off on that tangent.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, it kind of just wastes time. You know what I mean? Like, it's wasting time now. Like, the cap is absolutely a soft cap. And so there are absolutely things you can do. But why do we have to take it to the extreme and then die on the hill? Why?
So here's one scenario that I want to float out to you that we've not spent a ton of time talking about. I mean, look, we have and will, until there's a resolution one way or the other, continue to talk about the quarterback position for the Tennessee Titans and what that's going to look like, who that's going to be, all those different things. But basically, in the context of Ryan Tannehill, I think for the most part, I viewed the conversation as, all right, he's either going to be back as a starting quarterback or the Titans are going to cut him and move on and go get somebody else. One scenario that I was thinking about yesterday, like what would a trade market look like for Ryan Tannehill? I mean, we've seen quarterbacks be traded, obviously. You know, Carson Wentz got traded from the Colts last year. Now, I get it. It's the Commanders. It's the Colts. And not every NFL offseason is created equally. But if the Titans were to put Ryan Tannehill on the trading block, number one, what sort of interest do you think would be out there for Ryan Tannehill? And number two, do you think the Titans could find a deal where they wouldn't have to cut him and they could trade him and maybe get something relatively significant back in return for him, the services of Ryan Tannehill?
Well, I don't know about getting much back, you know. I guess I could see, certainly I could see them possibly doing better than Miami did when Miami got basically a fourth rounder for him, you know, trading the Titans. It also took on most of his salary, by the way, one of John Robinson's best moves, if not his best move. So I don't know what he would fetch right now, but certainly I think that's worth, I mean, that would be less painful financially. Yeah. Better cap situation. Yeah. And maybe you get a little bit back too, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I think that's certainly, I mean, a trade, we talked about this, but that may be your best answer if you're really trying to revamp your receiving core too. I don't know exactly where that is, but that's a possibility, and maybe that could be part of this, I suppose. Although, you know, I mean, how many teams part with really good receivers? Well, I know one that did, but you don't find it a ton. By the way, real quick, because I'm now looking at the trade number for Tannehill, but over the cap does these market estimates, and they put David Long at 2 year, $10 million. So okay. I may be David Long's agent, saying 3 for $40. I would like 3% of that. Gosh, that surprises me though. I mean, $5 million for him.
Well,
or what he does for them, I think that's selling him short, frankly.
If the Titans can do that, they need to sign that deal tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, like if you could get him, again, let's say he wants that third year, you know, 3 years, 3 years 15, or even 3 years 18 or so. To me, like you have to do that, don't you?
I would think so.
So Tannehill, if you trade, yeah, see, that's the thing. That's the interesting thing too with Tannehill's money, and this is over the cap, the way his deal is structured, trade or cut is the same dead money, and that's not always the case. You know, in a lot of cases with a lot of deals, trading leaves you quite a bit less dead money.
Yep.
But in the case of Tannehill, you know, it's no different. It's anything pre-June 1, you cut, you got 18.8 in dead money. You trade pre-June 1, same thing, 18.8 in dead money. So that's less incentive for the Titans. Now, I've also heard, you know, Hasselbeck talking about the idea that if he is coming back, he's going to have to be on some kind of adjusted deal too. So, you know, and this is where the cap is you know, it's like silly putty. I mean, right now that, yes, the cap number for him, 36.6. So that's also a possibility. And I wonder what he thinks about that, you know? But what other teams would be interested in him? I mean, I still think that if you're Jets, And I say you're Jets because your quarterback Aaron Rodgers is about to play for them. But if he isn't about to play for them, then I've always thought about them as a prime example. I think they look like a team. It's almost like the Eagles with receivers. The Eagles were sick of – they kept trying to draft receivers and stuff, and finally they said, let's get a proven receiver. And I feel like the Jets view this as they have the defense, they've got the skill, they've got a good coach. Put in a veteran quarterback who's at least good, and what would happen? You know,
right.
I do feel like, and obviously, if it's better than good and it's Aaron Rodgers, all the better. But like, if somehow that doesn't work out, I would consider them an absolute candidate.
Well, like, let's just think about who needs a quarterback, right? I mean, you've got the Jets, as you pointed out, the Raiders need a quarterback. I mean, basically, the entire NFC South needs a quarterback. I mean, I have no idea how the Falcons feel about Desmond Ridder. But they took him in the third round. So, like, is he going to be the quarterback of the future? I have no idea. But, I mean, Tampa Bay, depending on what Brady does, Carolina needs a quarterback. New Orleans needs a quarterback. Atlanta needs a quarterback. I mean, there's a few openings for quarterback positions out there. And, obviously, I mean, Houston and Indy need a quarterback. But, you know, you're thinking probably more draft with those teams. So, it's a long way of me saying, even if Rodgers and Brady are on the move, not every team that needs a quarterback is going to have their need filled by Rodgers, Brady, and the top two or three quarterbacks in the draft. There's still going to be some spots out there that need a quarterback. So how does that affect the Titans? Number one, do they have any interest whatsoever in trading Ryan Tannehill? Number two, would they get anything back for him? And number three, you know, wherever Brady picks, if he keeps playing, or if Rodgers gets traded, where does he go? How do those two moves affect the rest of the quarterback picture? Because there is still Derek Carr out there. You would assume Jimmy Garoppolo is going to end up somewhere. I mean, we could see some, maybe not as dramatic of quarterback movement that we saw a year ago with Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson and all that stuff, but we could see some significant quarterback movement this offseason.
Without question, which is fun. And, you know, when you think about – yeah, I don't know, like, what Arthur Blank thinks about Arthur Smith. Yep. I mean, look, he took over a terrible team, and they drafted Ritter. We didn't get to see much of him, you know. But Mariota, I mean, to me, Mariota, I don't know that we're going to see him start again. He had a decent run this year, and really, I mean, they had a real chance to win the division this year. They were a game off, but. You're talking about 7-10 in year two. Like, if you're Arthur Smith, you might really be intrigued / heavily interested in bringing your guy down and feeling like you could win that division with Ryan Tannehill as your quarterback next year, because they could without knowing. I'm just presuming the Bucs, again, we're just, you know, Brady, I'm assuming gone. That seems to be the feeling. So they're looking, like you said, there's a bunch of these other quarterbacks, one or two of who you just mentioned, could easily end up in that division. At least probably one of these teams will end up drafting one, potentially the Panthers, a prime candidate there. But, yeah, next year, Tannehill with the Falcons, with a good offseason around that, absolutely could win the – and he kind of might need that year three, you know? I mean, I feel like, again, I think he's a good coach. Still kind of finding out about him as a head coach, but you could see where that motivation could be high for him. So, Titans Southeast.
Yeah, well, I think number one, you hit on the main point there. It's his third year. You know, obviously he knew when he took over the job that there was going to be a rebuild of sorts. But think about how winnable that division is right now, particularly if Brady doesn't come back. Like, if Brady doesn't come back and Tampa Bay's scrambling for a quarterback, New Orleans doesn't have a quarterback, Carolina doesn't have a quarterback. Like, that's an extremely winnable division if you're Arthur Smith. So that definitely could be something to keep an eye on. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Speaking of quarterback, there was one play in the 49ers-Eagles game over the weekend that may directly impact the Titans and their quarterback position. We'll tell you what we mean by that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Tuesday morning. We'll have Caroline Fenton coming up at 7 o'clock, Gentry Estes at 8 o'clock. Taking your thoughts now on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we've talked about the quarterback position. What could a trade market for Ryan Tannehill look like? And there was a play in the San Francisco-Philadelphia game over the weekend that, number one, had a tremendous impact on the NFC title game itself, and number two, could have an interesting impact on the quarterback market as we move forward here as well. Brock Purdy gets hit in the NFC title game, has to leave the game, eventually has to come back in after Josh Johnson suffers a concussion. But it was revealed yesterday, Joe, that Brock Purdy has a torn UCL, suffered a torn UCL in his throwing elbow, and that he'll be sidelined for 6 months. Now, I get it. It's the offseason, so 6 months right now is a little different than it would be at the beginning of the season. But Brock Purdy, nonetheless, that's a pretty serious injury that he's dealing with. And there were going to be quarterback questions with San Francisco this offseason anyway. Now that Purdy is hurt and they were eliminated in the NFC title game, what happens with him? What happens with Trey Lance, who they took in the first round a couple of years ago, and now has spent most of this season injured? He played in part of the first game, and that was it. So what's the future of Trey Lance look like? And, Joe, we've discussed it from the Titans' point of view. You've hired Rand Carthon. He comes from San Francisco's organization. He was a part of the drafting of Trey Lance. Could the Titans, if San Francisco ultimately decided to go with Brock Purdy or someone else, could the Titans be interested in maybe swinging a trade for Trey Lance? So how do you think all of this news with Brock Purdy could affect what San Francisco does and could in turn maybe affect the way the Titans could or could not view Trey Lance?
Well, before any of this, I still have expected, and like, if I were the Niners, unless, again, I'm like, no, we got to go get a Brady, we got to get some of that. If I'm the Niners and I love Brock Purdy, and there's serious momentum out there. Different reports out there that he has really won over the coaching staff. Tim Kawakami, who writes for, at the Athletic, columnist out there, made the case for Purdy to be the starter next year. And it's clear that, like, internally there has been that feeling like this is something special they found. But I still thought, man, why not have Purdy and Lance on cheap deals?
Yes.
We always talk about these teams with their rookie QB deal. Bengals, prime among them. Jalen Hurts, the Eagles, prime among them. Hey, if you have two on rookie deals, great. And if it's a competition, why is that a bad thing? That said, if you were resolved on that and you believe that he was a guy and you believe you could recoup something, like if you're just out on Trey Lance, you're like, we can go get any backup. Like, we're just out on him. And you could recoup something from trading Trey Lance, and I think you'd have to consider it, right? Now, the San Francisco Chronicle, talking to some executives, and I don't know how many or anything, but they came back with a report that they believe they could only get like a third-round pick for Lance. If that's the case, then I'm just holding on to him, right?
Yeah.
I just feel like Purdy, with this injury, and by the way, 6 months, doesn't that sound short for that?
I mean, it sounds, I mean, that's a pretty serious injury. And you're talking about 6 months there. I mean, that would assume like best case scenario for that. And what is that? That's like right when training camp starting, if that's the case.
Yeah. So to me, like the chances, and we don't know what the Niners think. And we don't know what Rand Carthon thinks about Trey Lance. In terms of now that he has this new job, does he think so much of him that he's like, oh, this would be incredible if he could be our starting quarterback? Yeah, I don't know. But I feel like this does lower the chances that a move like that could be made. Now, the thing is, again, what if the Niners do make a play for Brady and they're like, you know what? Purdy is a good backup and he'll be getting healthy, but this team is too good. This team is too good. Brady, Derek Carr. I mean, gosh, is there any chance that they It would still be like, all right, Jimmy, come on back, man. We love you. We, but if any of those things were to happen, then I think it's back on, you know, as a possibility, in terms of can do they shop Lance around and look like they and see what they could recoup for him. I mean, look, you're never gonna approach three first round picks. You're not gonna approach it. Will you even get one? I kind of thought you could get maybe one if you're them, but I don't know. It's so hard. It's such a small. He's such an interesting case because anybody who looks at what he's done so far and decides to make a judgment, it's just not enough.
Yeah.
And they were so resolved with him, not just when they went and got him, but also last offseason, right? I mean, if you didn't have a strong feeling about him, I don't think they would have done what they did going into last year. So it's a really interesting case. But yeah, I just feel like the UCL tear makes it a little less likely that he would be on the block.
It's a really interesting situation to me because obviously Purdy played so well and he's got a great team around him. There's no question about it. I mean, you've got McCaffrey and, you know, you had Elijah Mitchell doing his thing before he got hurt, George Kittle, Debo Samuel, Ayuk. I mean, we know what he's got around him. But, I mean, there were times, I mean, I was watching the Seattle game in the playoffs and some of the throws he made, you're like, man, that's a pretty darn good play by Brock Purdy. Like, he looks good out there. So I think that part of it's interesting anyway. But then you do factor in the capital that they spent to go get Trey Lance and to move up and get him where they got him. And like you said, they made the commitment to him. They moved on from Jimmy Garoppolo and the preseason and part of one regular season game is all that we've seen. Like that's all we've seen from Trey Lance in San Francisco. So is that enough from their perspective to make a determination one way or the other that they're done with him or that they want him back? I mean, I don't know how they could know yet because I know that they've obviously spent a ton of time with him. You know, he was there for a full year, basically as the backup with Jimmy Garoppolo, and then last year. So he's been in the building for a couple of years. I get that. But he's barely played. Like, how could you really know what he is at this point? Because I told you this, Joe. Like, I watched, they played the Packers in the preseason last year. I watched the entire time he was in there, and you watch some of the throws he makes, and you're like, good gracious. I mean, that dude's got a cannon of an arm, and some of the plays that he can make with his legs are pretty special. There's just not been enough sample size, I think, to really know what he is. And that, you know, that factors in from the Titans standpoint too. Like if you're Rand Carthon, how sure is he as to what Trey Lance is? Obviously he's been around him and he would know better than anybody in the Titans building, but how do you formulate an opinion based on the little sample size that we've seen in game action?
If Tom Brady, current, obviously Tom Brady as of now, no DeLorean, no going back in time, current state of Tom Brady, quarterbacked this Niners team this year, what would have happened?
They might be in the Super Bowl, I think.
So if you're the Niners, and I understand all the talk about Brady wanting to be on this side of the country with near his kids and all that stuff. But if you're Tom Brady, and like we had Charles last week, we talked about a lot last week, limited options, right? But if, by the way, you're from Northern California, I guess that would mean though that you'd have to see your dad in person. You'd have to be like, Dad, sorry, I can't tell you, buddy. Talk to my agent, Dad. Yeah. But he's
Invite
from
him to the
Northern.
press conference when he signs. Here you go.
But he's from that area. Again, that doesn't mean that much. But yeah, he's from Northern California. But if you're Tom Brady and you had opportunity to come quarterback that team, and you're ring chasing, you're chasing one more ring. Wouldn't that? I mean, how could you possibly resist that? How could you possibly like not rationalize? Like, look, man, I got a private plane. I can get back there. I mean, it's a little bit longer flight. It's a little bit more of a thing, but come on. You can go win the whole thing with that team, that situation. All these other Raiders with all these flaws, and we talked about the Titans, you know. I mean, like the Falcons. I mean, yeah, you know, there's still holes, of course, in that team. The Niners? I mean, how could you resist that if you're Tom Brady? And if you're the Niners, I don't know. That's what's interesting. Like, do they feel like this is too good a team to not get into the rent a QB game that like the Colts have been in lately?
Well, and to that point, you know, part of why the Niners are where they are is because they're not paying a whole lot of money at quarterback, right? I mean, it's part of why they are where they're now. Brady, look, I don't think Brady's going to come in and ask to be paid $55 million or anything like that. I mean, he's typically taking a little bit less, but do you want to mess up the quarterback money picture that you've got right now to go and get Brady? Like, how much do they like Brock Purdy? How much do they like Trey Lance? And how much do they think Tom Brady would put them in a better spot than those two guys? I don't know. I mean, look, I say Brady, if he was on the 49ers this year, maybe they'd be in the Super Bowl. Maybe they would. I mean, that Philadelphia's team's still pretty darn good. I mean, they may not be. They may have ended up in the same exact spot that they're in. So I have no idea. Now, could Brady have, you know, could you have made a better push at home field advantage if he had Brady the whole time? Maybe. I have no idea. But, I mean, they're right on the doorstep anyway. Like, they're good enough to win the Super Bowl, in my opinion, as currently constructed. They just had the quarterback position fall apart on them at the end of the year and in the last game this year.
And of course, you know, to the point you just made, if he is on that team this year, or if he were to be on that team next year, there'd be someone else who isn't. Because why? Because the cap is real.
615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What do you make of the quarterback picture this offseason in the NFL? And how much do you think Brock Purdy's injury could impact the availability or potential availability of Trey Lance in San Francisco? We'll continue that discussion next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. We'll have Caroline Fenton coming up at 7 o'clock. Get her thoughts on the Titans, on the Super Bowl matchup with Kansas City and Philadelphia as well. Right now, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So Brock Purdy, torn UCL in his throwing hand or throwing elbow, out for 6 months. Joe, by my unofficial math, that puts him out until right around end of July, right around that neighborhood where he's getting ready for training camp, beginning of July, somewhere in that neighborhood. So if that's the case, how does that influence what San Francisco does? Now, it's an interesting part of it anyway. The question that I don't know that you brought up that I would need to know if I'm San Francisco is, what exactly can you get back for Trey Lance? There's no way that they can recoup the assets that they gave up in order to get him. But if somebody was willing to give you a first rounder or maybe a second rounder for Trey Lance, would you consider doing that if you're the 49ers? Like you said, they took him third overall. They moved up to go do it. Obviously, they liked him when they made that move. And they made the decision this past year to go with him ahead of Jimmy Garoppolo heading into the season. So, have they just soured on him that much? Are they that high on Brock Purdy after a limited sample size of him at quarterback? Like, they got a really interesting decision to make on that standpoint of it as well. And part of that decision, like, let's say they do love Brock Purdy. Like, what would be the number, or what would be the pick that you'd have to get back for them to seriously entertain sending Trey Lance in a trade? I don't know what that answer is, but if it's just a third round pick that they could get back, like some are speculating, then I think it may be worth hanging on to him at that point, at least for this year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, if Purdy never got hurt and you were certain he was going to be the starter, then you could make the case. Okay, let's see what teams would want for Trey, because Brock's our guy, and we can get another backup quarterback, and that's fine. But I think the idea of those guys competing. Well, look, what's Purdy going to be able to do? Like, how limited is he going to be in camp? Even, you know.
Yep.
So then again, it has to be. I think the only way, or I'd be shocked, I guess. I shouldn't say the only way, but I would have to think that it would require them really coveting one of these veterans to come in and plug in for Trey Lance on the market to be a real thing. Because then you could look at Brock Purdy and say, he still may be the future. He may be good enough to be the future. He can be the backup this year, ease him back in. Hopefully he never even has to worry about it. But we know we got a good backup, and if he should be totally healthy by the time the season starts, fine. And we're going with whoever, you know, Brady.
Yep.
Carr. I mean, would they be interested in Carr? Who wants Carr? I mean, someone's gonna want Carr.
Doesn't
he's
it
gonna
feel
start like, he's gonna start for somebody next year, right?
I mean, yes, he will. Doesn't it feel like the Brady Rodgers domino has to fall first before like the Derek Carr, Jimmy Garoppolo domino falls? Just that's kind of the way it feels to me. Like if you're the Jets, like I think Derek Carr would be a good fit. Like I think if Derek Carr is on that team this year, they're probably in the playoffs, would be my guess. If Ryan Tannehill's on that team this year and he's healthy, they're probably in the playoffs. So I think either one of those guys would be good fits for the Jets. But if they can get Rodgers, I think there's enough smoke there to know that's what they want to at least try to do. So it feels to me like Brady and Rodgers, like those decisions are going to have to be made, and then the quarterback domino kind of falls, at least free agent-wise, after that.
Well, I would agree with Rodgers. I don't know about – I mean, I think there absolutely could be a team out there who looks at somebody else as better than Brady. I have to think there are some teams out there who need a quarterback who are wary of Brady's age. Yeah, maybe I'm wrong. But I don't – you know what I mean? I don't know that he necessarily has to set the tone and then everybody else follows. Rodgers, though, I agree because the Jets would be very active for one of these other quarterbacks, and along with some of these other teams that they could trade him to if they don't get him. But Brady's interesting because, yeah, I don't know. I'm imagining that at this point, there should be, I think, some wariness about are we the team that gets him when it's just, okay, oh yeah, that's right, he's damn near 50.
Hey, maybe look, there could be, but like to me, like if you're going to get Rodgers, like let's say you're the Jets, right? And you want Rodgers, you're gonna have him for 1 year, maybe 2 years, and that's probably gonna be it. Like Rodgers is not playing until he's 45. Like it's not gonna happen. He's not playing until he's 45.
He's just trying to make sure he doesn't retire the same year as Brady, so he didn't have to share Canton with him. That's basically the entire thing here, right?
You think that's a joke? That
no,
actually,
I don't.
That may be.
No,
that may
I don't
be
think it's a joke.
That may be part of it. But like my point is, like if you're getting Rodgers, you're doing it for a window to win either now or next year. Like isn't Brady kind of the same thing? Like. You know, maybe you think that Brady is just going to evaporate before your eyes. That could certainly be part of it. But, like, to me, like, you're not getting Aaron Rodgers and thinking 3 years down the road. Like, it's now and maybe next year. And that's your opportunity to win, whether it's Brady or it's Rodgers, to me.
No, I agree. I'm just saying on the free agent market, there, I think it's possible. And I know somebody could laugh at this, and that's fine. But I think it's possible. Some teams out there may view some of these other guys as more viable options than Brady. And some of that because you could still make the case for a Carr, a Tannehill, that if you really love that quarterback, that could be your quarterback for a few years, you know? Now, yeah. Does anybody feel that way about him? I don't know. How do people feel about Jimmy G? It only takes one. That's what they always say, you know, yes. Right? I mean, that's, you know, draft prospect or whatever. It only takes one team to overpay or to really believe or to overdraft or whatever. But the Brady thing is, it's fascinating to find out how many teams are clamoring for him. Because the Niners would be that one of those teams that I would say, see, that's, you have all these conditions in such great shape. He could, I mean, with what he can still do. I think you could make the case that wins the whole damn thing.
Oh, I think you could too. And
a lot of other teams aren't in that spot.
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's. I mean, even the Jets, they've got a really good defense. I like a lot of the young pieces they have. They're not San
Francisco.
Yeah, no. Like it's not. it's not the same.
Now Rodgers could elevate them with what he is as a player, right? So, if I had just a choice, it was the exact same conditions, I would take Rodgers over Brady 100 times out of 100 right now. That's just me.
I think I agree. Although I will say, like, Rodgers, the one thing I'll say about him is, like, getting receivers on the same page with him is hard to do. Like, it's hard to do. And it's hard to do when he's been in a system in a place that he's been in for a long time. How difficult is it going to be if he does go somewhere else and it is a different system and it's guys he's never played with before? I don't know. Like, he's a different cat, Aaron Rodgers, as we know.
You're just mad at him because he's leaving the Packers.
I know. I think
Are you going to be like the biggest Aaron Rodgers hater now?
No, I'm not mad. I'm just so tired of the same storyline. And honestly, like, the idea of just bringing the same thing back all across the board and expecting a different result to me is insane. So I'm not a fan of that. That's just me. We'll see what happens. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Caroline Fenton. We'll get her thoughts on the Super Bowl matchup with Kansas City and Philadelphia and clue her in on the quarterback discussion that we've been having all show long to this point as well. Interesting stuff on the quarterback availability market this offseason. We'll get to that and more coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.